Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had a little bit of a pullback in gold today, nothing too significant. Still hit that 1300 mark, but it didn't stay there. And again, it was all in very early morning trade when it was strong, and only after the markets opened did we see some weakness come into the precious metals sector. So let me go ahead and bring up my numbers here and be a little bit of pressure on gold today. We have gold down 470, 470 for gold, 1287. We have silver down 11. At 1750. Platinum was down 15 at 1069. And we have palladium down a whopping almost 3%, down 17 at $608. The USDX today, of course, with those numbers, you can only imagine it was a little bit stronger today by 0.36, but still under 93 at 92.94. 92.94. Crude oil down another buck, 109 at 43.69. And there was, you know, triple digit losses on the Dow today for most of the day. It was down, you know, 115 at the get-go, pretty much stayed there most of the day. The Dow was down, let's see, my numbers are trickling in here, 140. 140 to the downside, 17,750. NASDAQ, a little over 1% to the downside at 47.63, and the S&P was down 18 at 2,063. 10-year yield down 0.06 at 1.80%. Little pressure on the euro, but still holding that 115 level. And Japan gets hit once again over 3%. And, you know, pretty much Germany was down 2%, so our markets didn't do quite as bad as the European and Asian markets did. But the year is too early, Al.
What's too early?
The year.
Well, I don't know about that. We're into the fifth month already.
No, I mean, it's still not quite halfway, Al.
No, I understand that, but
I think it's going to be a very active year. And I think there's going to be a lot of volatility in the markets. So
Won't be an long, Melody. It's time to start doing your Christmas shopping right now.
I don't Christmas shop.
Christmas will be upon you. Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're just a short time from now.
Well, they do say, Alan, you would know, the older you get, the faster it goes.
I would know better than you do, but not all that much better.
Okay, well, I know with my cold, it probably makes me sound a little bit older, but prior to the program we were talking about, I brought up a USA Today article. It was published like April 30th, the end of April, and the article itself talks about pensions and retirement and how people are confused. They, you know, they've done a great trying to save for a great retirement, but they don't know how much money they can use on an annual basis. And really, the whole article is really kind of, it's important because it's true. There's a, people don't know what to do. They don't know how to spend. And we were talking prior to the program about people don't have the confidence. They prefer someone else to handle their finances. They don't want to control their finances. They're afraid of making mistakes with their money, so they allow and pay someone else to make the probably worse mistakes than what they would do with their own money. But this whole article, they're talking about retirement, but there was a one little paragraph I thought was real important, and because I didn't see these numbers anywhere else, and it's talking about pension plans. It talks about, even though there's a number of people retiring today, that can still depend on income from a defined benefit pension plan. And these traditional pensions are fast disappearing. Now get these numbers. Some 73% of the 102 plans and a 2015 survey by NEPC, which is a consulting firm, were either closed or frozen. And that is up from 64%. I thought those numbers were staggering. No, it was a huge number to see some sort of an impact on pension plans, on traditional pension plans, and how quickly they are disappearing.
Well, I think one of the first off, 73% of the plans.
Of the plans, correct.
This implies in broad strokes that 73% of the 102 plans, if I heard you correctly,
correct.
Are in trouble. The number of plans, that number of plans does not necessarily reflect 73%, 72%, whatever, of the people who have pension plans.
No, this is just
it may
plans.
Be that these are the smaller plans that are tending to have problems. But as we were saying earlier in the when we were talking before the program began, part of the reason those plans are in trouble, it's not simply mismanagement. It's not simply the people in positions of power are robbing the pension plans. Part of the reason those pension plans are in trouble is because they were based on premises which, as it turns out, didn't work. They anticipated that the economy would grow at some percentage every year. All right, let's say 3%. Let's say 4%. Well, it hasn't happened. All right, and part of the reason for that is that we've shipped our jobs to foreign countries, shipped industries to foreign countries. Not all of them, but some of them. Part of the reason for the problem is that we've got an influx of illegal aliens coming into this country who are taking jobs at low wages and helping to hold the labor scale down, the wage scale down, right? Which also, I have little doubt that the pension plans are saying, well, we expect wages to rise X number of dollars over the course of the next 20 years. Well, it's turning out that those expectations were false. And much of the reason for those false expectations, it may be that the people who put the pension funds together were overly optimistic or even intentionally deceptive, told everybody, oh, yeah, you're going to get, you'll be able to spend $10,000 a month. Trust me. Well, it might have been nonsense from the beginning, but part of it is the government itself has, to some degree, betrayed the American people. They've helped to wipe out the middle class. None of that can be good for pension funds. People can't be putting that much in. And, you know, we were joking at the beginning when we started talking about these pension plans. We were joking about how much faster time moves as you get older. And it really is one of the big secrets that you can't comprehend when you're younger. When a young man, young woman, they're in their 20s, they're in their 30s, they're not going to need a pension for another, who knows, 35, 40 years. Huh? They're not worried about that. It'll take almost forever to get through 35 or 40 years. But life is a peculiar kind of game where the timing, it goes faster and faster and faster and faster. And if you didn't get prepared fairly early, you have a very difficult time catching up once time is moving quicker and quicker and quicker. And people don't anticipate that. And it's the sort of thing that you can see and understand pretty clearly when you become a senior citizen. But it's something that you can listen to people talk about it when you're a kid. But it really does seem like it's going to be another century or two before you get to the time when you're going to need some sort of a pension or retirement program to support you. And it's the sort of thing you can't communicate. You can talk about it, but again, you're not going to get it until you see the days and the weeks and the months, and they start flying by, and you say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to hang on here?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why these pension plans are not keeping up. And you know, a lot of people at one point in time, they thought they'd be able to have their savings into a CD of some sort, you know, collect maybe 7-8%, and they'd be happy. Well, banks aren't paying 7-8% now. And
why not?
So they don't know what to do with this. And you have inflation that is also taking away a lot of people's purchasing power. Mm-hmm. So even though that you have saved for your retirement, even though you might have a great little pension plan, even though you're planning on your $1,300 that's the average monthly check for retired workers from Social Security, even though you're planning on that, what is your purchasing power going to be? Inflation is not going to go away as long as we are on a fiat currency. As long as we continue down this same path, inflation will still creep into the system. I don't care whether you have the Janet Yellen telling us that there is no inflation. Our livelihoods, our food, our energy, prices continue to rise. You know, they trick you. By changing the packaging, they trick you into thinking that, you know, hey, prices are going down. Hey, let's mark something up 1,000 points or 1,000%. We'll give them a 50% discount. People will think they're actually saving money. But, you know, we've exported a lot of our inflation early in the 2000s from bringing in all these trinkets from China, and it has given us a distorted picture on exactly what inflation is and how it hits us. But our purchasing power has been decreased significantly, and it will continue to do so until our problem is addressed.
And well, the other thing that you touched on, and it may be even more important than the inflation, is the interest rate that people are paying on different investments. They have been pushed down for 8 years. We have a zero interest rate policy by the Federal Reserve, or near zero interest rate policy. They just raised it by 0.25% this last December, but we've been near zero for most of the past 8 years. And that interest rate is one of the things that was expected to enrich the people who had invested their funds in pensions. Right? They'd put their money into pension funds, and they said, well, it's inconceivable that we could ever have interest rates down close to 0%. That's irrational. We don't have to calculate for that. We can expect that we're going to make 3, 4, 5% anyway. Well, guess what? Didn't happen. It's not happening. In order to allegedly stimulate the economy, the government not only has zero interest rate policy, ZIRP, they may have a negative interest rate policy, NERP, in the foreseeable future. They're doing it in other countries, and they may be doing it here. Now, what's that going to do? Everybody is in pension funds. What are they invested in? Typically, bonds, maybe stocks. But the truth of the matter is, when the Fed is holding the interest rate down in order to stimulate the economy, they are robbing anyone who has a fiat currency in a bank account as savings or fiat currency in bonds in a pension fund. The creditors are being robbed in order to try to make life easier for the consumers, in order to try to stimulate the consumers to go out and buy some stuff. And that will make the economy grow if you would just buy some stuff. Well, people aren't buying. They're trying to save, and yet how successful can you be saving when the interest rates are next to nothing and may even be going negative? What's the implication? Where do you put your money? Where you won't get hurt by near zero interest rates or even negative interest rates? Where do you put your money? Where do you put your wealth that is effectively protected from the kinds of trouble that we see with a fiat currency and a near zero or even negative interest rate? And the answer is gold and silver.
Right? And
if you could move your pension funds, and I know this is the kind of thing that people look back and say, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to run that risk. Well, the way things look right now, it seems rational and perhaps even necessary to move whatever portions of your pension savings that you can into something like gold and silver now before the stuff really hits the fan. It's just unlikely, given all the negative comments we hear about the economy, about our prospects, about how near we are to another recession and maybe a depression. It's in the face of all the information that tends to support those doom and gloom, predictions. It's really not very sensible to hold your wealth in the form of paper or pension funds denominated in paper debt instruments like bonds and stocks and whatever. There's a high probability that if you could move your money, whatever your wealth is right now in those pension funds, if you were able to move that off out of paper and into gold or silver, there's a high probability that you would later say, thank God, thank God, thank God. Can I tell you that for an absolute fact? I cannot. But you got to look at some of these things and you have to make your own decisions. You can see that there's a problem with pension funds. And if you have your wealth and your retirement hopes are based on pension funds that are denominated in fiat dollars and they consist of paper debt instruments, you can see there's danger there.
You know what's interesting
now? You have to take responsibility and do what you have to make up your mind, face the problem, it's dangerous times. So what do you do? What's the best you can do? That's what you have to look for. Go ahead, Mel.
You know, it's interesting now because if you talk to anyone, if you talk to your family, your friends, everyone knows that there's something wrong with our system.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that this can't continue. Everyone knows that Wall Street's basically a Ponzi scheme. Everyone knows that we have a debt that we'll be defaulting on. Everybody knows that we are facing some sort of a financial crisis, not just here in the States, but around the world. I mean, we see, the numbers coming in from Europe and everywhere around, the China, the problems, the amount of trillions and trillions, and everybody gets this, but yet they fail to act on something they understand. Something's coming. Perhaps they don't understand to the degree, but they do understand there's a problem and it's going to affect them. But yet they fail to
act. Well, they're
scared.
They don't know what to do. They don't know who to trust. It's one of those things where some of us are going to guess right and some of us are going to guess wrong. And if you guess wrong, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And I guess we're going to be going to a breakout.
I guess we are. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Are we going to go to our caller?
Either that or he could come to us. Which way do you want to do it? Should we go to him? We're talking about Jim from West Virginia. Jim is a regular on this program, of course. What up, Jim?
Not much to say today. Melody likes to say two befores in the wind. Oh, wow. A week or two ago, we had President and Vice President meeting a secret session with Janet Yellen. Then the G20 came to Washington. And the IMF came to Washington. Those guys like to gather at resort towns. But at any rate, those were a few two befores. Bam, bam, bam. I like to listen to Joyce Riley. Oh, boy. Somebody sent her photographic evidence, groceries in Canada. A ribeye was $37. Two cucumbers, $5.50. A gallon of milk, $18. Now, our dollar is fairly strong at this point because a lot of people have run to it. But this is what happens when currencies start losing a value. I'd say it's heading our direction. Another one, I think she said that New York Times reported that bunches and bunches of billionaires have left. Aren't too many of them left in the country. And this one got to me. This is the one that really worries me because I see something very nefarious here. I've known about the FDIC scam since I was a kid. They have a quarter of a penny for every dollar in the banks. I found this hard to believe, but Joyce said zero hedge was the source. The banks now supposedly have 6 cents for every $100 in deposits. Now, if that's the
you
case,
you mean 6 cents in the bank vault as reserves?
Yes, 6 cents in the bank for every $100 of supposed deposits. So if you've got $100 in the bank overall, 6 cents, zero hedge. Listen to the record programs and I listen to it again. Zero hedge is reported as supposedly.
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of zero hedge, but what we know for a fact is the FDIC is underinsured for the amount of deposits that are in the banks. So if there was some sort of a massive bank failures, yes, the FDIC could not reimburse people their money. I mean, that has been known.
But there can be a massive bank failure precisely because if the information is accurate and there's only 6 cents in the vault for every $100 that's allegedly deposited, it means that all they have to do is lose that 6 cents and your $100 is gone. You're not going to get any money out of the bank.
Whether it's 6 cents,
this may be part of the reason why they don't want you to have, why they want to get rid of the cash in this country, because they're afraid the banks are going to collapse. And if we don't have access to cash, perhaps that helps to mitigate the effects of a bank run. It's hard to say exactly.
Whether it's 6 cents,
but if there's only 6 cents for every $100, that's a strange thing. But if that's true, the banks are in great jeopardy right now.
Whether it's 6 cents or 20 cents, they're in great jeopardy right now.
I guess that.
What blew my mind, you see, I don't totally trust the zero hedge either, some of their opinions, but I don't think they go too far out of limb on something like that, because I think they destroy their credibility. But seriously, I truly, say again?
Go ahead.
I truly believe that they're setting this up so the banks will intentionally fail and crash this place. I do know the people who have wanted $5,000 cash, they say, wait a few days.
Yeah.
So I know that's true. I mean, that's somebody who I know, who I totally trust, family who works in banking, what have you.
And that's been going on for years.
Right.
It's not recent. It's been going on for years. I'm talking,
right,
you know, 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You said it and saved me a breath. But yeah, this is apparently they have a bare minimum of cash, according to these folks who mentioned the thing about $5,000. So apparently they have to overnight some cash in. Now, I'm going to make.
Go ahead.
Now, I've made this statement before, but I think I need to say it again. At this point, the way I see things right now is it's mathematically impossible for a business engaged in the manufacture and, shall we say, sale of currency that they rent, that they charge rent on, interest. I think it's mathematically impossible for them to fail because they can always print more. All right.
I don't think it's just that easy, though. I think there's a limit on how much they can print. I suspect, and I don't know this to be absolutely true, but the Federal Reserve's bank, their balance sheet, it compares how much assets they have to how much liabilities they have. They have just, my recollection, and my understanding is they only have something like 0.3% more assets than liabilities. I think that 0.3% may be the limit on how far they can go with another round of quantitative easing, for example. I think they can just spin this stuff. I think there are actually limits that people don't expect and don't believe. But I may be wrong, but nevertheless, throw it in for what it's worth. Go ahead.
I get that. But you see, your local neighborhood bank, all that has to happen is somebody has to say, I'm going to deposit $50,000 from money they borrowed from the bank, maybe. And then the bank can do $500,000 worth of credit creation. All I'm saying is this. One other thing. A few years back, I was on some webpage about the 25 worst bank failures in history or something like that. And what was in common with the thread with all of them, all these different banks which had gone belly up, was massive amounts of fraud, and nobody ever seems to find out why a bank goes belly up. Now, all the times one will go out and sell out to another, blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is this. If there's just a few pennies for every $100 in the banks, they want the bank run to crash the economy. They intentionally do not have enough paper bills printed.
And that's so whenever, one perspective on it, but here's another perspective. Are they intentionally keeping only 6 cents for every $100 that's in the bank, or have they been lending so much money that it's created the rate? It's destroyed a formerly semi-stable relationship between how much is in the bank vault and how much is being loaned out. This is where I'm not talking about the Federal Reserve now, but at the local bank, you're correct that they can, in a sense, spin that credit out of thin air. Now, they may be encouraged by the government to spin, get that stuff out of there as a way of allegedly stimulating the economy. And the result is if they lend more, the ratio of what's left in the vault is going to be proportionally smaller and smaller as they lend more and more, perhaps, to stimulate the economy.
Wait a second. There's a fundamental issue here. When you put deposit into the bank, it is illegal for them to loan that money out. They can lend a credit on the amount of your deposit, but it's a great life. That's propaganda, because the bank cannot lend out what you deposit in it. So when they create loans, they create it based on how many deposits they have. So that's a fundamental issue. So they can't do that. They can't loan out your money and say, oh, you came to get your money out of the bank. Oh, it's in John's house over there. No. You deposit in the bank, they cannot lend it out. All I'm saying is it appears, Melody said
they're doing something with it. If there's only 6 cents left for every $100 in deposits, where is the other $99.94 going? If they're not loaning it out, what are they doing with it?
It's in zeros and ones, but they have 6 cents worth of cash. Now, I've always been a proponent that I thought there would be some catastrophic events economically. But I thought that it would be, flash crashes. But I thought that things would come down to a slow grind. Now, Melody's always taken the position that one of these mornings we're going to wake up and everything is different. A major flash crash for mainland America. I tend to agree with Melody's position if, in fact, they only have 6 cents worth of cash for every $100 of deposits you have in there. But you're talking about two befores in the wind. There are several of them. So just keep it up, folks. But all I'm saying is you're doing good. When you get a little bit past the numbers, there are certain numbers I do not like. It is my personal preference. Dow Jones, used to be Dow Jones Industrial, Dow Jones Transportation, Dow Jones, I think, Utilities, but Manufacturing, but not Manufacturing, something else. It's been too long. But after they quit doing that, that bothered me. And then I found out it's a totally selected list. They change who's on that list on a very, very regular basis. So
Stock is dragging the average down. They dump you and they get a new stock.
Right. I didn't know how bad it was, so somebody explained exactly how bad it was.
The whole thing is just an illusion, and this is part of the reason why we're recommending people, you need to think about getting gold and silver. Why? It's not an illusion. You get it. You hold it in your hand. It's real. It's tangible. There are so many illusions and so many lies that are manifest in our economic system, and a lot of them we're able to see, and a lot more are probably invisible to us. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence to sit back and say, this system is going to blow up one of these days. It's based on what, 30%, 50%, 80% lies? What percentage? How many lies make up our economic system as composed to the truth? Sooner or later, that's got to blow up in everybody's face, and when it does, the people that will be secure as much as possible be people that have tangible wealth, perhaps in gold and silver.
Well, there's something else which I'm quite well aware of. Puerto Rico's going to default on their debt. Greece probably will, too. It's a matter of time. How many banks have bought Puerto Rican bonds or Greek bonds? I'll go back to my story of two drunks who want to be overnight millionaires. They each wrote each other a piece of paper, I owe you $1 million, and traded the paper. That is really where we are, and I am no longer proponent of the idea there'll be a slow grind. For instance, we had this stock market crash at 29.
Well, there's two things that can happen here. In retrospect, we look at the Great Depression and we talk about it all started with a crash, the stock market crash in 1929. And
yep.
We are taught that up until 1929, we had the roaring 20s. They had the stock market crash one day, and the next day we're in the Great Depression.
No.
Again, in 1929, in retrospect, that appears to be the trigger. That's what they want us to believe. But I've seen reports that there was not a general consensus that we're in a depression until 1933. In retrospect, they say, 1929. No, they didn't even know they were in a depression. Until it was four more years before people generally agreed. And my point is that we could have a dramatic crash of the sort we saw in 1929. And still, it wouldn't take us all the way to the bottom. It just gets the dominoes, falling over. And then it may be another several years while we grind it out and go lower and lower and lower. So, what are we going to do? Is it all going to happen in one day? If it does, it'll be catastrophic. If it's just enough to get the thing started, we'll live through it. Perhaps, the grind we can adjust to. The immediate catastrophe, that's a lot harder to endure.
But. Okay. Now, it appears to me, very simply, that they want a bank crash. They want to create it. They only have 6 cents worth of cash. I should have said that several times for every $100 worth of deposits. My parents got out of high school in 1930. They knew within a year things were going to pieces. You saw the indications. Now, the mainstream media, when it said there was a depression, I don't know. I also have on my wall in the cabin, log cabin I'm in, 1933, there was supposedly the last buck deer shot in Kanawha County, Charleston area. Charles, West Virginia, because they had shot all the food. If something was moving, people ate it. And time after time, cash is king. No, food is king. So, folks, I'm a little shook up by all the two-by-fours flying in the wind. And if you're not shook up, if your mind is focused on Don Trump, thinking he's going to be our great secular savior, hey, baby, the fundamentals are there. Worse than I thought. I'll catch you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim from West Virginia. We're going to take a break here in about 40 seconds. Shall we start a little bit early, Melody, with our break, or do you have something you'd like to add in the next 30 seconds?
No, I really don't have anything to add. And the one thing I do want to say is back in 1929 up through 1933, when they did take us, did collect the gold in 1933, there was a lot of visual going on, too, that we don't see today. And that is part of the illusion that they've created. And because people's behavior really determines a lot of what happens and when it happens. I mean, we saw there was food lines. You saw people. People were hungry. They were in food lines. Today, we've talked about this before in other programs. Today, they have the food cards where, you don't see the people going hungry. You don't see people standing in lines. You don't see, not yet. But my point was this, the visual also keeps the system going longer than perhaps most of us would think that it could go on.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break for a couple commercials now, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here. Trump trouncing in California by 34 points. As Jim said, Trump will not be our secular savior, per se. But nevertheless, here's Donald Trump. This is from USA Today. Donald Trump is leading Ted Cruz by a whopping 34 percentage points. 54% to 20% among likely Republican voters in California, according to a survey by Survey USA poll. That's a significant gain for the Republican frontrunner, whose lead was only 8 percentage points at the last survey a month ago. It's a significant loss for Cruz. The two were 40% to 30% last month. California, which holds primary on June 7th, all right, they're a month away, is the most delegate-rich state on the Republican primary calendar, with 172 delegates at stake for GOP hopefuls. That makes Indiana, which will award 57 delegates for its primary today, all that much more important for Cruz if he wants to stop Trump from reacting or from reaching the 1,237 delegates he needs to clinch the nomination. In the most recent poll, however, Cruz is trailing by 15 percentage points in the Hoosier state. Well, let's see. It actually says he is trailing by 15 percentage points in the Hoosier state, and it's not absolutely clear whether they mean Cruz or Trump. And to tell you the truth, I don't know.
It's Trump. It's Cruz.
Cruz is trailing.
Yes.
Yeah. On the Democrat side, Survey USA gives Hillary a 57% to 38% lead over Bernie Sanders in California. In general election matchups, she beats Trump 56% to 34%, and Cruz 57% to 29%. California, now they're talking about in general election matchups in California. And California is not sided with a Republican for president since George H.W. Bush in 1988. The one thing about it is the California poll doesn't take place until June 7th. We just pointed out that there was only 8 percentage points difference between Cruz and Trump a month ago. And now they've got a new poll where it's jumped up to 54% to 20%. All right, Trump is leading by 34%. In the next month, things could change dramatically again. Plenty of time for this thing to bounce back to where from 54-20 back to an extra 8% for Trump or 8% for Cruz. I'm not saying that's likely. I'm not predicting it, but I am saying the way things move, it's volatile. You can't count on it. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure everyone in California is going to be fascinated just to see what they're going to do. The whole country is going to be fascinated to see what they'll do. And I don't know. That's increasingly, I saw one of the interviews with Donald Trump earlier today, and he pretty much thinks he's got a lock on this thing. Something extraordinary is going to have to happen. He thinks he's going to be able to make this, get the nomination before the first ballot. He's not really preparing or planning on fighting for the nomination on a second ballot. He's thinking he's going to have this thing locked up. And we'll watch and see. Maybe true, maybe false. There's another article from Associated Press. U.S. new home sales fall in March for third straight month. Americans stepped back from buying new homes in March, the third straight monthly decline, as sales plunged sharply in the western states. Western states, of course, includes California. New home sales slipped 1.5% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 511,000. That rate has dropped steadily from 519,000 in February and 521,000 in January. So January, 521,000. February, 519,000. March, 511,000. We've got a three months of a little bit less, a little less, a little less. People are concerned. I'm not sure if this is, you know, we've fallen from 521. We've fallen 10,000. Fallen 2%, all right, 1.5%, well, 2% altogether in 3 months. I don't know that how critical that is to the housing market, but it does say sales plummeted 23.4% in the West, of course, which has been prone to volatile swings in sales as one of the nation's priciest housing markets. So you folks out there in California, you should be interested in, you know, what's happening to your housing market out there. The West is volatile, unstable. The rest of the country, perhaps a little more stable. We'll see. We'll see what happens. What will happen for April? They've tracked it into March. What will happen for April? What evidence will we have for April and then May? Will this decline continue, or is it likely to bottom out and perhaps start working up again? What do you think, Moldy?
Well, I think it's, you know, another signal that things are calming down. I mean, heck, you still have really low rates. And, you know, people are distracted with what's going on with the election and so forth. And, you know, we do have problems in our economy, and this is a sign. You know, it's your leaf, it's my 2x4 that's floating through the air. So
the message is you better get yourself a hardy hat.
And we're actually heading into the real estate season. You know, spring is always a, you know, where people start looking and start planning if they're looking to purchase a home. The real estate market is, you know, beginning to ramp up at this time of the year. So,
what's the best? I believe the fourth quarter is usually the best for gold and silver. True?
Usually the last quarter is better for gold and silver pricing. However,
if I understand correctly, second quarter is generally the worst, isn't it true?
Well, you know, the saying, you know, sell it, you know, sell in May and go away, you know, for the summer. You have the summer doldrums, you know, for the precious metals and so forth. But through the 2008 situation, the Great Recession of 2008 and some previous years, it really wasn't the case. So I think it really depends on when we see things unfold, how it can actually affect, you know, the prices. But certainly you can look at a historical view. The last quarter, you usually have a better time because this is when you have your most volatility in the paper markets. You know, August, you know, everybody looks at October being the worst month for the paper markets, but usually you have more volatility in August and September, or the bigger months. You just had the major crashes happen in October, but you usually, over a longer period of time, will have more volatility. So you have gold reflect that in its pricing. So therefore, you'll usually have stronger pricing for gold and silver. And it does show you how gold and silver reacts to these situations. When we have the volatility in the paper market, when you have every financial planner on the planet trying to tell people you don't want to own gold anymore, you know, it's a relic, you know, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Well, you know what? It does. Or we wouldn't see it react when we have these problems in our paper markets or our geopolitical tensions around the world. And you wouldn't have central banks buying up gold and silver, mainly gold. Gold is the main monetary metal. Mm-hmm. It's not going away. It will play a very important part in the world finances in the very near future. We don't know how much, we don't know how big, but it will be a very major player. And I believe it will play a very major player as far as replacing the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. Everybody says, oh, it's going to be the Chinese currency. You know, well, they're going to need gold.
Well, they've already started to back one of their, they've already started to back their currency locally with gold. And my understanding is they've even said that they won't exchange the gold-backed currency for U.S. dollars, and they won't allow U.S. dollars to come buy their gold. They are firing a shot across the dollar's bow in some regards. And whether they are going to cause a problem or they already see the problem coming and they're just preparing for it, you know, you can debate that point, which came first, the chicken or the egg. But for sure, it looks like we're going to have either eggs for breakfast or chicken for lunch, looking at the way the economy is right now. Here's an article from Reuters. It says, U.S. Congress to Pakistan, pay for your own F-16s. The United States has told Pakistan that it will have to finance the purchase of U.S. F-16 fighter jets itself after members of the U.S. Congress objected to the use of government funds to pay for them. Now, there's more to the article. Pakistan wants to purchase a number of F-16s. Well, they don't want to purchase them. They want the government to pay for them. It's a $700 million deal, and they would like the government to give them $700 million worth of airplanes. Why don't you guys and the government of the United States pay for them, and we'll fly them? How about that? And Republican Senator Bob Corker said he would use his power as chairman of the Senate Foreign Trade Relations Committee to bar the use of any U.S. funds for the deal, to send a message to Pakistan that it needed to do more in the war against militants. Well, is Congress really sending a message to Pakistan that it needs to do more, and therefore you guys got to pay for your own F-16s? Or is Congress sending a message to the world that the U.S. government is too broke to continue handing out free money to everyone who holds out their hand and begs? Now, I've been saying it for 5 years now. What can't be paid won't be paid. The government is going broke. Today, government can't afford to subsidize an apparent ally in the Middle East. They're not going to help Pakistan buy these F-16s. That's today. Tomorrow, government won't be able to subsidize the American rich or provide entitlements to the American poor. I think the message of this, you know, it may be that they're just trying to goose Pakistan a little bit and say, hey, you got to do more. Maybe this is true. They're just sending a message, you have to do more in the war against the militants. That might be true. But I think the larger truth is government's running out of party favors. They're broke, can't afford them. And if they don't have them for Pakistan, unless things change dramatically, it's only a question of time before they're not going to have them for you or me either. And this is another one of those stories. You look at it and you think about it and say, what do you do? The evidence, and from my perspective, what you're going to do is you're going to get some gold, get some silver, and stack it away. Bury it in the backyard, hide it up in the attic. Do what you got to do to protect it, but get something, get your wealth converted into a tangible form, because when the stuff hits the fan, we talked about how much money was not available in the bank accounts. If something happens and this house of cards actually falls down, whatever money you've got in the bank will disappear. Really, just the snap of a finger. It's gone. Goodbye. Because it only exists as ones and zeros on a hard drive. It has no tangible reality. It can vaporize and just flat out disappear in an instant. You can't do that with gold and silver. And set the house on fire and the gold and silver is still there. It might be melted down to where it's a puddle and you got to dig through the ashes to find it, but it's still there. You can't do that if the banks go down. You can't do that if we have a problem with the government paying off on the bonds. All of this digital and paper cash is dangerous. And if you want to store your wealth there, that's your choice. But historically, the world moves to gold in times of crisis. I don't think you can look at the current economic situation and say, oh, there's no crisis here. I don't see any crisis on the horizon. There's no problem here. It's all under control. No, it's not. And anyone who wants to look at it, I think you have to admit it's not under control, which is another way of saying maybe now is time to put on the life preservers and get close to a lifeboat. I'm not saying the ship is going to sink, but I'm saying we are going through one. There are a bunch of icebergs around here. Maybe not a bad idea to get prepared. Just maybe, you know, some people may laugh at you and say, oh, you're wearing a life preserver and it's ruining the line of your suit. Well, yeah, maybe so. But maybe it's not a bad idea just the same. Melody and I are out of time. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. I want all of you to have a good evening, and we hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.